Achrimos Kedoshim Tavshin Pei. Okay, let's adjust two topics here. We'll try and do it briefly. The first topic is, it says at the beginning, Parshas Achrimos. It says, Kemas Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Shavtem Bo Lo Sasu, Kemas Eretz Ksenan Asher Nimei Yatzchem Shama Lo Sasu, V'chukoseyem Lo Selechu. Talking about not following the customs, the habits, the laws, the standards of Mitzrayim and Canaan. Es Mishpatayim Tasu, should do Hashem's Mishpatim, His Chukim, Leches Behem, right, etc. Shmartim is Chukosai, Es Mishpatayim Asher Yaseh Osam Adam V'chai Behem. So the addition, don't do Mitzrayim, so that we understand. Do what I tell you to do, that we understand. So the additional idea that's been brought over here is that we say the pasuk v'chai behem. V'chai behem. The question is why is v'chai behem in this context? Why is it brought in this context over here? So, in order to understand this in Sefer Bamidbar and Parshas Chukas. There he addresses the very beginning of Parshas Chukas that Rashi brings down from Chazal, that the Satan and the Ubus Olam Zor Makas and say, you know, this has no tam to it, i.e. paraduman, and this is in the context of Parshas Chukas. Just what tam is there to this? And you do it. Right, you have no seichel, you're just doing things blindly, etc. And so I was going to ask a very pointed question. If indeed there is no time that can be comprehended, certainly for us here in this world, why do we need the Umos Olam? Well, the Satan say there's no time. Who will say there's no time? Right? Just why does that have to appear to like those that are an attack from the outside as opposed to a concern built on the inside? And basically what the Tfasemis answers is that we understand that there is a tam. It's not that it doesn't have a tam. There is a tam. You know, there is a tam that is tasteable even in this world. There's a tam that's tasteable in this world. The issue that prevents us from comprehending that tam is the fact that our goof is not betikun. And as our goof, our physicality, not just our body per se, but our physicality serves as a screen that prevents us from coming into contact, from comprehending the Tam. But it's not as though the Tam is ununderstandable in this world. That's why the Tam was revealed to him, indeed, to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's goof was not a contradiction, it was not a screen, it was not a form, a source of blockage between his understanding the Tam of Parah Aduma and his being a person of flesh and blood. There was no blockage there. There was no blockage there. So as such, we understand that the idea of a chai behem, that you shall live by the mitzvos, a chai behem, right? First of all, Rashi says a chai behem doesn't mean in this world, it means in the next world. Right? The next world, because in this world you die. But the idea being that, recall that to experience v'chai behem is only if a person realizes that he has to approach life from a different vantage point, a different Weltanschauung, a different worldview than that of Mitzrayim and Canaan. It is if one is steeped in the values of Mitzrayim and Canaan, he can't experience v'chai behem. And the Sfasemis there in Chukas explains because of the fundamental difference between our approach to things and the non-Torah world approach to things. In our approach to things, or first let's start with the world. In the world's approach to things, what is tasty to you, right, causes you to do it. The tam is there first. You've seen the taste, you've been tantalized the taste, you've experienced the taste, whatever it is. And that causes you to be involved in the act, whatever it happens to be, obviously something physical, sensual, etc., of one sort or another. The taste is what causes you to act. The taste is what causes you to further experience. Whereas in the Torah, your experience, your involvement, you're doing it, you're doing the mitzvahs over and over again, that's what gives you the tam. Because the tam here in this world, right, is not so available. It's not immediately available. You have to put yourself into the framework. You have to put yourself into the mindset. You have to put yourself into the worldview. You have to put yourself into the experiential, right, aspect of the mitzvah. Do it, and then you'll taste it. As opposed to this world, where everybody says, since we've tasted it, therefore we should do it. It's a completely, completely different approach. There's a person's heart, Eile Chamda Libi, right? This is what my heart desires. What is desire? Kiv is Hashem, closest to Hashem. But that doesn't work in this world. In this world, like in the beginning of Parsha Shlach, or I should say the beginning, the end of Parsha Shlach, was the Surah of Avchem Chorinechem Hashartim Zdoni Machorin, says Rashi over there, the eyes and the heart, Atur Sisuri Avera, purveyors of Avera, the eyes see, and then the lave is homemade. If the lave wants to receive its instructions from the eyes, then that's what the eyes will do. The eyes will search out what looks like fun, what looks like enjoyment, what looks like pleasure, what looks like a source of sensual titillation, and the heart will follow. Don't follow the mode of Mitzrayim. Don't follow their approach, right? Not just their individual acts, but their approach. Who was saying, lo selechu? Don't follow their mores. Rather, shmartim smukosai. It's v'shvatai, here you got aseo sam ha'adam, and then v'chai b'hem. Then you will live. You'll experience life. Rashi says the real life is to be found only in the next world. We'll address that in just a moment. I would just see two asides. Baal Shem Tov says v'chai b'hem. That the idea of a chai behem is that you should live according to these precepts, and you should take these precepts and append them onto your physical life, because all of creation is all about, yeah, putting the principles of truth, of tzura, of form, the way things should be, upon the chomer of this world. The tzura of the Torah should be imprinted upon the physicality of this world. That's a chai behem. Transform, take your life force that you're experiencing over here and live the Torah principles using it. That way that transforms physicality from just being physicality into sanctity. And then the Baal Shem Tov in addition says, right, Chai Behem, live it. Don't do it like dead wood. Don't do it like unflavored tofu. Live it. It should be what you call with excitement. Live it. Chai Behem. Chai Behem. So let's just for a second, this idea that we talked about before, about two different worldviews. I heard many years ago from Rav Moshe Shapiro that every person, right, the question was, why is it that you find that people are so so insistent about running after pleasure and desire and all this other stuff? You don't find it so much in the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom does what it needs to do, you know, and that's it. It's not like it's you know, you're never going to find an animal under normal circumstances that would glut itself to eat until it got sick, right? It eats as much as it needs. See, once that, he said, because there's a fundamental difference. Animals are created to be part of the scenery of this world, but man was created to derive pleasure. But the Mesillas Yesharim teaches us that the ikar moment of that pleasure is not here. It's in the next world. But inherently, every person in his heart of hearts understands he was created to be a beneficiary of pleasure. The only thing is, and this is where what you call the point comes in, they say in the name of the Ari, right, others, that the fulcrum of this issue is the word oneg. owning, to delight. Right? To take delight in something. So owning is Roshe Tevos, Eden, right? Pleasure of Idunim, of pleasure, Nahar, a river, Gan. In other words, the place of Idunim, the place of Eden, is way, way up there, next to the Kisei HaKavod. That's where it comes from. And there's a river that flows from that source of connection, of soul pleasure, as it were. There's a river that flows down and waters this world. It brings into this world, you know, the perks that make this world, what do you call it, easier to live in, etc. It waters this. And so you if you have your head screwed on straight, then your worldview is there's Eden, the place of Idunim, of delight in heaven. Nahar, the Nahar flows from it and brings some good things that are useful here in terms of aiding a person in the Kiyum of Torah Mitzvot. Nahar Gan, here in this Gan, in the garden here, the garden, right, that emanates from Eden, as it were. When the world of the person who is not marching to the beat of the drummer, the Torah's drum, that is, so he lives in a world of Nega. Nahar Gan Eden. He sees that there are good things coming to this world. The Nahar, as it were, flowing from its source. But he doesn't address itself to the source. He just sees that there's something flowing to this world, and it's watering the Gan here. It's watering this temporal, physical Gan here, and therefore he declares, here is where Eden is. Here is Eden. Here's the place of delight. So everybody understands that in essence, they were created to delight. The question is how short-sighted is the person in determining, right? How short-sighted is he in determining where the place of that delight is? Okay, that's the first topic. Okay, and next we will continue on into V'chai B'hem V'lo Shiyomus B'hem. Okay, let's go on to another point. Chazal teach us, V'chai V'hem V'lo Shiyomus B'hem. You should live by the Torah and not die by the Torah. This is the source, as we've seen a few different Gemaras, the fact that the Torah, or the mitzvahs of the Torah, I should say, are shunted to the side, if you use that terminology, in face of pikuach nefesh, of loss of Jewish life. Pikuach nefesh. The three exceptions to that, you know, barring, we're not talking about Shas HaShemad, we're not talking about Befarhesia, you know, in public, but then there are other considerations there as well. But the ideas of under normal circumstances, you know, as you said, barring Shas HaShemad or barring in public in front of 10 Jews, the din is that whatever mitzvah happens to be, it's pushed to the wayside if kiyum of the mitzvah would entail loss of a Jewish life, pikuach nefesh. Except for gil rayis, shvichas damim and avodah zarah. And the pasuk that's brought is v'chai b'hem. V'chai b'hem. It appears in several different mesechtas, in Sanhedrin, in Psachim, and in Yuma. Listen to this Rashi in Mesechta to Yuma. Now, here the Rashi is not addressing the fact that other mitzvos are shunted to the side because of the preciousness of Jewish life, but rather it's talking about an instance where one does have to give up one's life when it comes to a mitzvah, and that's with regard to Ritzicha.
It's also true with regard to Gilarias and Shvichas and Avodah Zarah as well. But listen to what it says in the Gabi Ritzicha. The Gemara brings down, right? The Gemara brings down Psachim. Ahuda Asla Kami de Rava. There was an individual who came before Rava. Amalei. Mari Durai Amali Zil Katle Leplanya Vigilo Katlina Lach. A person, individual, came to Rava. Right, and said to him that Mari Durai, whoever that is, if he's a king or he's pretty cool, he's perhaps the owner, the landlord of his apartment, I don't know. Mari Durai, Amal, he said to me, Zil Katla Leplanya, either you kill so and so, another Jew, Vilo, and if not, Katlina Lach, I will kill you. Amale Liktaluch Velo Tikto. Rava says, allow yourself to be killed, do not kill somebody else. My chazis de dama de dach sumach tfei. Who says that your blood is more red? Dilma dama dahu gavra sumach tfei. Perhaps his blood is more red. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? So, Rashi says, right? Rashi says, here in Safim, it appears in a few places. My chazis de dama de dach sumach tfei, klomar. Klum basal lishayel. This is Rashi of Pesachim and Chaf Hamad Beis. Klum basal lishayel. You've only come to ask this question. Al kach. El mepnei she'ata yodea she'ein mitzvah right omedes b'fnei pikuach nefesh. You know there's no mitzvah that's omed b'fnei pikuach nefesh. In other words, when loss of life is involved. Again. Right. You know that a mitzvah omedes b'fnei pikuach nefesh. V'savurata, this is what Rav is saying to this individual who came to him, sh'af zu tidche mipnei pikuach nefeshecha. You're assuming that I'm going to tell you that go ahead and kill him. Why? Because you're pikuach nefesh, and therefore you could be doch the mitzvah of ritzicha, the aver ritzicha. Ain zu doma l'shar aveiros. This is not the same as other aveiros. D'mikol makom yeshkan ibud nefesh. Because in any event, there's going to be a loss of nefesh over here. V'atora lo hitira lidchos es ha-mitzvah. The Torah was not matir. To be docha the mitzvah le'iser of lo sirtzach. El mnei chibas nafsho shal Yisrael. Only because the chiba, right, of nafsho shal Yisrael. V'kan aveir nasis. And here an aver is going to be done, the nefesh avuda, and the nefesh is going to be lost anyway. Mi yomer dish nafshecha chaviva lifnei hamakom yosef mishel zan. If you knew for a fact that your nefesh were indeed more chaviv than his nefesh, right? So then you'd be allowed to do it, because your nefesh is more precious than his nefesh. What's keeping him from taking his nefesh is the avera, but an avera, right, doesn't stand in the way of Chivas Nefesh Yisrael, Nafshish Yisrael, so therefore you could do it. The only thing is, you don't know that your Nefesh is more precious. In which case, you have perhaps no heter. Dilma shel zeh chaviva b'tfei alav, v'nimtza aveira nasis, v'nefesh avuda. Right? Nothing will be accomplished. Because l'maisa, it'll be an aveira. Why? Because the only heter, right, to be docha the aveira, is for the sake of the Nefesh. Right? But that's only in the case where there's another nefesh not being lost. Now, if you knew for a fact, yeah, that your nefesh were more precious than his, so fine. But if you don't know for a fact, and you don't, and you can't know that your nefesh is more precious than his, so therefore you have no heter. And this appears a few times. It appears in Psachim, like I said, in Yuma, in Sanhedrin. In some places, Rashi doesn't say nafsho, Shel Yisrael, he says, Nafshon Shel Yisrael. Right? The terminology Rashi in Yuma, Pei Beis and Beis, is Shechaviva Nafshon Shel Yisrael, Lifnei HaMakom, Yosir Min HaMitzvos. So that's a very strong term. Right? That the Nefashos of Klal Yisrael are more precious than the Mitzvos. Interesting. Okay, so now this leads us to a question. If let's say we had a person over here In the case of the individual came to Rava, let's say we're talking about the person in question, the people in question. One is the undisputable Gadol HaDor, right? Undisputable Gadol HaDor. He's the source of halacha. He's the source of tefillah. He's the source of everything for the Jewish people. He is the address. The address. And the other individual is an ochel nevelus utrekos l'te'ava. I don't want to get involved if he's a mumal hachis, right? Because then that gets involved to other things over here, right? But let's say he is not a person, right? He's obviously a Rasha. He's a Rasha. There's nothing to talk about. He's a Rasha, right? He's not necessarily, whatever. He's not Mumer Lahachis. He's not Machal Shabbos Sefer Hestia. He's what he called. He's a Rasha, though. He's Trefus, Nevelus. Let's say of him, right? Because it tastes better. Okay? You really mean to tell me that this person, right? This person is life. His life will be spared at the expense of the Gadol HaDor's life. Really, I can say to him. I can say to the Gadol HaDor, "My chazis the damach sumach tvei." I can say to him, "Who says your blood is more red?" Really, really. That's amazing. So first of all, you should just know the Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin, the Rain Dalit, he has a different parish other than Rashi. In my chazan is the Dhamma Chasubak Tvei. Not that who says that your soul is more precious to Hashem than this person's soul, this other person's soul. Right? He says, who says you're going to live longer? And it's all a matter of potential. Right? Whatever you've done until now. But the fact is, potential is unlimited. A person could change over in a day. And how do you know that you're going to live more than, let's say, a day, right? And you're going to kill him, and he could have lived, had you not killed him, he could have lived another 25 years. Okay. But that's not the standard parish. The parish is really quite a thing that's usually accepted is Rashi's parish. It's Rashi's parish. So it's an amazing thing. So the Ramatayim Tzofim, right, Shmuel Shinever, he brings the name of Rabinim Pshisk. He says, indeed, that you should bring a raya from here, from the Torah, that you're mechuyev to be an anav. Because who's to say? Who's bigger? That's an unbelievable thing. Not only did he say that, but he used a terminology, right? Towards the end of the paragraph on page 2, if you have a handout there, afal pi she'enu, it's on the top of page 2. Afal pi she'enu, muchzos et tzadik, yuchal lios shielo yoser olam haba mimenu. Yoser olam haba mimenu? Yoser olam haba mimenu? I mean, the din is applicable to the choice between the Gadol HaDor and the Ochel Nevelus Utrefus, right? Let's say Avon. And he might have more Olam HaBa. Wow, that's amazing. I should mean, a din Sarach Leos Anav Ad Kanvarov. So you see from here, that's a Raya. It says Rabinim, that person Mechuyah to be an Anav. Because who knows? Who knows? Who knows? You don't know. I find that absolutely stupid. He says at the end, v'shibeach dvarim halalu ma'ot, Rabbinu v'shibeach, that's a lot, v'siyah mishe'enu ma'amin b'zeh chalila b'vadai hu apikoriz gomor. Whoa, that's rough stuff. That's rough stuff. You don't believe this, you're an apikoriz. You know? I mean, these are the funny sort of feeling. Right. Isn't it feeling like you know what's going on in the world? Say there, you can say that listen, you're mechuyev to do all Torah mitzvahs, right? And the way that we deal with people, right? The way that we I mean, you're mechuyev to do the mitzvahs. Another person is not doing the mitzvahs, not doing it properly, that's for sure. We don't know what his nekus habchira is. Right?
So therefore we know what his love of bar is going to be like. I don't know. I find it, you know, slightly stupefying. I want to suggest a little bit of a different mahalach. Right. And that's as follows. As a hakdama, the Rambam says in Hilchos Yesodei Torah, he brings down the din of a chayveh. It says over there in Yesodei Torah Perakei Halacha Aleph, he brings down the din. Keitzad kishiyam or over kachov miyanos Israel lav or al achas mikol mitzvah hamurus b'torah. O yageno yavor v'al yarek. That's the din. Yavor v'al yarek. Any mitzvah shenemer mitzvah asher yaseh l'sam adam v'chayveh. He doesn't get into the philosophy, he just says, that's the drasha, and that's it. Fine. That's the Rambam in Yesodei Torah. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel, he brings down once again that you have to be Mechal Shabbos for a chol Ashiyesh Bo Sakana. Right? Here, realize here that we're not talking about the individual over here. And we'll see that that's a point. We're not talking about the individual himself, that he has a choice between a dime or being kind of mitzvah. So he has protected his life and forfeit the mitzvah, the chayvahem. We're talking about somebody else doing it for him. And he's talking about how important it is to be b'chal Shabbos for a person who's b'sakana. And he continues, "Asher yasar osam adam b'chayvahem v'lo shiyamus b'hem." Hello, Marata. Now here again, the Rambam goes. He says, "Hello, Marata. She ain't mishpatei Torah nekama. That means an onish. Ba'olam, el rachmim v'chesed v'shalom ba'olam." Okay. He's that the svara that what v'chayvehem is telling you the ain't mishpatei Torah. Hello, Marata. She ain't mishpatei Torah nekama ba'olam, el rachmim v'chesed v'shalom ba'olam. They bring rachmim, chesed, and shalom into the world. They bring rachmim, chesed, and shalom into the world. Into the world. That's what the Torah is there for. So therefore, it's not possible that the Torah should be the cause of this person's death. That's interesting. So the Evan Ozel. Wait. The Evan Ozel, this is Alman Melton, says that the Rambam over here interjects this, what appears to be a philosophical point, a conceptual idea, rather than this strict din. Is why? Because you might have thought, says the Evan Ozel, we know that the Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma that if a person, right, becomes ill, there's a pasuk, "Varapo yirape," that the doctor has the right to heal him. Why? Because you might have thought, Hashem made him sick. Why is the doctor interfering? Right? Kamash Shulam, no. The doctor has to be merape him. Right? Doctor has to be merape him. And you don't say, right, that the Choli came at him as an Onish, and therefore why are you interfering with the Onish? But you might have thought, that's all true when we're just talking about should you heal the person who's healed from his illness, which came in a Shamayim or not. The Torah says, yes, your Yachas has to be that in spite of the fact that he may become ill because of an Onish, but that's not your, what do you call it, that's not your yachas. Your yachas, your interest over here is you have to heal him, no matter what. And it's not considered an act of defiance, right? Hashem made him ill, you decide to make him better. That's what Hashem wants you to do. Fine. Okay. But you might have thought that perhaps if it comes out of Shabbos, now what's the doctor supposed to do? He's supposed to be called Shabbos. Clearly this is Hashem's will that he should die. Kamash Rulon. No, says the Evan Azo. That's what the Torah is telling you. That if we learn from B'chaybehem, that this is B'chlal, the wrong attitude, right? That the mitzvahs are never, right, an intermediary as a cudgel to punish a person. They're never nekama. They're never onish. They're only rachamim, chesed, and shalom. That's what they are. Rachamim, chesed, and shalom. Those are the mitzvahs. The Kiryas Sefer, right? The Kiryat Sefer, the Mabit. So he points out, right, that the Chiddush over here in the Rambam, right, is that you might have thought that Din Chai B'Hem is only when the person himself has a choice in front of him, not involved another individual. In other words, I'm required, I need to heal myself, and if it comes at the expense of a mitzvah, what should I do? So b'chai b'hem. In other words, I'm not mechuyev to forfeit my life in order to become the mitzvah. What we see over here, says the Kiryat Sefer, is that not only are you mechuyev to push off the mitzvah, the aveira, in order to preserve your own life, but rather someone else has to also. And this is his lashon here. The achol gav the pashti the krav chay behem v'lo shiyomus behem kai amistakin atzvo. Right, even though the first glance reading of the pasuk would imply that it's talking about the individual of himself alone. Kolomar sheim hu b'stakonas nefesh im lo yavar lemitzah yavar kedei lahatzil atzmo v'lo yistakin afilu hachi darshe krav mireisha. Ushmart in the skol kuchosai. I go back to the beginning of the pasuk. Ushmart in the skol kuchosai. Asher sel sa adam v'chay behem. Klomar atem tishmeru kulchem es kuchosai. Kishiyase osam ha'adam v'yich behem. Avon yistakin adam b'shmir sa mitzvah gam atem lo tishmeru. Ela shetavu kedei latzilo. In other words, the understanding that's the core of the Rambam, right? That everyone, I mean, the Gemara says that we're going to be Machal Shabbos in order to save a person's life. But that's how he understands the source. The source is that the Machai B'Hem is not just talking on the individual himself, but rather it's part of what he called Shmiras Hachukim Mishpatim of Klal Yisrael is valid only insofar as it doesn't cause the cost or it doesn't cause the death of what he called of another Jew. Fine. So now, this is an important idea. The question is, why did the Rambam dafka mention like on Hilchos Shabbos? Why didn't he mention it also in Yesodei Torah? Now, you could say that that the reason he mentioned Hilchos Shabbos is because that's the makor that we find in the Gemara. The Rambam doesn't make up halachas; he doesn't make up Gemaras, right? So the din of a third party being Michal Shabbos in order to save another person is, as I said, it's brought the Gabbai Shabbos. They don't bring it in the other mitzvahs per se. So that's why he brought it by Shabbos. But nonetheless, since the yisod is true, since the idea, the principle is true, that not just an individual himself, if he's confronted with the challenge, should I be becoming a mitzvah or should I forfeit my life, right? It's better, should I negate the mitzvah or should I forfeit my life? It's better to negate the mitzvah, not forfeit his life. Since this din that it's true not just for the individual himself, but even for a third party, that he needs to transgress the mitzvahs of the Torah in order to save the person's life, since it is a true principle, not just Lagabi Shabbos, why didn't the Rambam bring it in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah? So what I would suggest over here is that perhaps there's something unique about Shabbos that you might have thought that the din wouldn't be applicable. Right? You might have thought that perhaps over here, indeed you don't transgress the Shabbos in order to save the person's life. I mean, the Gemara says you do. I'm saying, but in Minasvara, you might have thought that you wouldn't need to. That's why the Gemara Badafka points out in the Gabi Shabbos that it's true. That it's true. How so? And I think this will help us in some of our other questions as well. First of all, Shabbos, we know, is Right? A person who's mechal Shabbos before Hesya, so, right, if he fulfills all the conditions of what it takes to be a mechal Shabbos before Hesya, right, etc., God forbid, it's akin to Avodah Zarah. It's akin to Avodah Zarah. It's a crucial, right? Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible avera. Unfortunately, we've become too accustomed to it nowadays. Rahman Watzlan in certain circles, but the fact is, it's a terrible avera. It's like idol worship. Because it's a negation of the testimony that Hashem created the world. Once you're no longer testifying to the fact that Hashem created the world, and the world exists as a function of His will, so the person's entire relationship with Torah and mitzvahs, everything is automatically watered down, you know, an indescribable amount. Why? Because if the world is, just because it is, and God is maybe the most powerful guy in the block, but He's not total reality. He's the most powerful guy in the block. He's not playing craps, as I think Einstein said, with the universe. He's made an order here, nice, etc. But the universe exists. The universe exists, right? I have reality without Him. Okay, maybe it's smart to listen to Him, but if I want to choose a different reality, I choose a different reality. If you testify that Hashem is the creator of the world, that means there is only one reality. It's His will. There is no other reality. In any event, recall this is not a discussion of Shabbos, but that really is the point. That's why Shabbos is so incredibly fundamental. That's why Chil Shabbos before Hesya, right? A person who, you know, who is willing in public to desecrate the Shabbos, it's a major problem. And since it is so crucial, perhaps you might have thought that it's like Avodah Zarah. We know that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, a person is not allowed to transgress Avodah Zarah to save his life. Those are the three cardinal sins: Avodah Zarah, Gila Rayas, Shvichas Damim. And what I'm attempting to explain is that those three Averas are not just specific Averas, but they are the very fabric of the system. The fabric of the system. Avodah Zarah, if a person is over to Avodah Zarah, then the fabric of connection between the Jew, or the Jews Bechlal, right, and the Creator falls apart if he's over to Avodah Zarah. Gili Arayas, well, the way we know that is because of the comparison between Gili Arayas and Shvichas Damim. Right. That just as the Shvichas Damim, one is not allowed to transgress in order to save one's life, so too will the Gavad Gila Rais. But we understand Gila Rais also. If we live in a licentious society, in other words, where anything goes, that takes apart. It's not specific, but it takes apart the fabric of connection between us and Hashem. If we're busy not being focused on connection to Hashem, but being focused rather on living the life of a cat, so then we've as it were, we've frayed the fabric of connection. My suggestion is that perhaps is also true with regard to Ritzicha. How so? So let's look at this first Vasemis here. As we know, Kedoshim, after all, it is the parshas we're reading is Archimos and Kedoshim. Dabel kol adas b'nei Yisrael v'omar ta'alem Kedoshim to you, ki kodosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Kedoshim to you. Parsha to Nemra v'Hakel. Rashi teaches us that this parsha was taught in Hakel. She'eino yochol lizkos l'hakdusha rak al-yedei habitul l'kla Yisrael. The Sfas says that this parsha, right, Kedoshim to you, was written and read, right? It was read at Hakel, when all the Jewish people gathered together, right? All the Jewish people gathered together in the Beis Hamikdash. And here, this is meant to be like, you know, this is meant to be like the major recharge of the battery, right? for the next Shemitah cycle. And they read the Parsha of Kedoshim to you. And he says, why? Sha'al yedeh einu yochol lizkos la'kedusha rak al yedeh habito l'kla Yisrael. A person's got to know that aspirations to Kedusha are not just private issues. Of course, it has to start with every individual. But if a person thinks that he can, right, reach Kedusha on his own, yeah, separated, on his mountaintop, without any connection to the rest of the Jewish people, he can forget about it. Rakhaydi Abitul Lekleisro, a person has to, as it were, yeah, see himself as a chelik of Klal Yisrael, and see the needs of Klal Yisrael as being primary. Yichliv kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. Korach said that. It's true. Right? Korach was right in what he said, just in his application of it, he was wrong. Right? But nonetheless, it's true. It's written in the Torah. Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. Right? When we're all together, we're kulam kedoshim. Perhaps he meant this, each one of us individually, we can do our own right and go our own way, right? But the Torah means it is really called, we as a whole, we can do Kedoshim. Perish, Kishayim ba'achdus echad, when we are attached to one another, we are a unit, we are a living organism, a living, flowing organism called the Jewish people. Right? Living, flowing organism. Most of the dinim of Parshas Kedoshim are ben olam chaveru. The gankes of Bnei Yisrael him echad en yad harishoyim sholetes b'hem nivdolim mehem. When we are one unit, each one supporting the other, so then we're not influenced by external ideas, external philosophies. Why this show a kedusha of Israel? Can it see? Like Rashi writes, "Kol makom she yish geder erva, yish kedusha." Right? In other words, we're properly attached to one another, and we're living with the principles of Torah. So right here, geder erva, like we said before. Right? If you want kedusha, the fabric is going to be healthy. What's the fabric? The fabric is going to be the chibur of all the Jewish souls. The has to be the chibur, has to be attachment, right? A proper attachment to one another, not living with an outlook of the world of how can I get more pleasure for the next second, the next second, the next second, right? Wherever you see this getter erva, this kedusha. The chayim shabbos kodesh, which is interesting. Also, the beginning of the parsha says ishi mova avi tirov shabbos osai tishmoru shmir shabbos. This is all part of the fabric. The misachdim berazad echad. Right? On Shabbos, the koach of Shabbos, the koach of Shabbos, because it is that testimony to the fact that Hashem is one and that everything is only a function of His will. So therefore, it lends itself, it gives a greater capacity for us to join together in that sense of oneness. Like we say at Mincha time, on Shabbos, Ata Echad, Mishimcha Echad, Mikamcha Yisrael, Goy Echad Baretz. We say this Vedafka on Shabbos. So these are all the different things, right, that create the fabric of Jewish connection to the Rabbon Shalom, to Hashem's oneness, that is the sanctity that we're searching. We're separate from the standard fare of Olam Hazeh, right? We're marching to the beat of the drum of Hashem's Echad, Ushua Echad. And that's why also, Amrei Kiva, Bahaftel Recha Kamocha, Zeh Klal Gol Batorah. That's the klal of the Torah. Because the chibur of Klal Yisrael, all the souls of Klal Yisrael, united, that becomes, as it were, the connection point between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His creation, the Jewish people, the main connection point is the Jewish people, all united, one another, fulfilling, serving the function of different aspects of what is needed in the stream of time, each Jew doing his thing, his way, with his unique kochos, with his nurture, with his nature, etc., right, etc. I mean, that flowing body called the Jewish people, the oneness of the Jewish people. So in any event, so you might have thought, right, you might have thought that that Shabbos also, you might have thought that Shabbos also is so primary that you can't be dochet for the sake of the Jewish soul, because it's one of these factors. It's one of these uniting factors. It's one of these that is like the part of the fabric of Klal Yisrael. And that over there, you can't be docha such a mitzvah like that. Gamash Malan, when we have a Shabbos, it's not true, right? That's actually what the, right? So the, going back to the, that Kiryat Sefer before, at the end of that Kiryat Sefer, the last few lines, he says, In other words, the Torah is saying explicitly, you're right, Shabbos is part of the fabric, right? It's part of the canvas upon which all the rest of Jewish life takes place. But a Jewish life takes primacy over that. Right? A Jewish life takes primacy over that. So what I want to suggest is, right, that when Rashi said, with regard to the mitzvah of Chai Bam, and again the terminology of Rashi, to use the terminology of Rashi and Yuma and Pei Beis and Beis, we saw in the beginning, Shechaviva Nafshon Shel Yisrael, or in Sanhedrin Nafshon Shel Yisrael, right? Like Kadosh Baruch Hu Yosef Min HaMitzvos. Yosef Min HaMitzvos. So what I'm suggesting is as follows, that it's not per se we're saying that this person might be a more lofty person than the next person. We're not saying per se that that this person who is an ochel in the veils of treifos mifarhesia, right, is more choshev than the Godel Ador. But you never know who's more chavi at any given moment, because as Klal Yisrael travels through the stream of time, we don't know, right, whose soul is more precious in terms of connection right now to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't know whose soul is needed right now, because we're all part, we're all one unit, right? It's very important what you call to have a heart. It's sort of like, it's like the story of the Medrash brings down about the whatever, what do you call it, a person who it's proving the point that how important a loshon is, a tongue is, right? Chaim v'amavis v'yad haloshon. So the Talmud brings down a story, the Medrash brings down a story of an individual, right? There was a particular king who was very ill. And his advisor told him that the only way that he could really quick, he could possibly survive is he had the milk of a lioness. Okay, let's not get into all the medical properties here right now. The milk of a lioness. So everybody had to get a milk of a lioness. You know, you would tell me. So it came along one fellow, and he says, I can do it. He said, King says, fine. So he says, you just give me some goats. Guy goes off to a cave. There's a lioness there with cubs. Every day he throws a goat in, right? They eat it. Every day it comes closer, 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 till finally he's won their confidence. He's able to go in, when he caught into the cave, he milks the lioness. He's got the milk in the canister on his way home. He's going to make a bundle of money. He stops at a report at a tree, right? And he goes to sleep. And there in his dream, right, he has this bizarre dream of where his tongue is saying, Ricord is saying, see, I spoke up and Ricord and I got this job for us and I'm really the king of all the organs. And all the organs are screaming at the tongue. He says, yeah, you're nothing. Ricord, the legs say if we hadn't gone there, you wouldn't have gone. And the hands say if we hadn't milked it. And the hearts, Ricord, have the bravery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? And the tongue says, oh, you'll see, you'll see. So what happens? This guy comes back to the king and he says, great king, I brought you the milk. Instead of saying Levia, which is a female lioness, he says Kalbia, right? I brought you the dog's milk. Oh, king says, take this guy outside and turn him into chop suey. And of course, this guy is the person that has a slip of the tongue, etc. And everybody's like, you know, all the environment are shaking, right? And the tongue says, he says, now will you admit that I'm your king? And Rico goes, yes, go ahead. And he says, king, 1 second. First of all, right, in some places in the world, they call a levia a kalbia. They call a lioness, they call a kalbia. There are places in the world like that. And even if I brought you the milk, what do you call it, of a dog, I'm telling you, this will heal you. Drink it, what does it hurt? He drinks, he gets better, etc. So that's a chayim v'mavet v'yad alasha. Now, no one's going to tell you that, you know, that you can not survive without a tongue. God forbid it should happen to anybody. But you can't survive without a tongue. You can't survive without a brain. You can't survive without a heart. But what was necessary over there was the tongue. So by the same token also, right, we're not saying that this person over here who's standing in front of the Gadol HaDor, who's going to die? The Gadol HaDor or this person over here? We're not saying that he's more choshev, right, in terms of intrinsically. But in the needs of the flow of Klal Yisrael, right, that unit that's all like plasma-like and flowing through the stream of time, and each one doing their chelik, etc. Right? Who's to say that he's not more precious right now in terms of what Klal Yisrael needs than the Gadol HaDor? You don't know. And one of my sons brought a raya from what he called from a Gemara in a Yushalmi in Tainis. Brings a story there. Of Rabbi Avo, there was a drought. There was no rain. And Rabbi Avo, the doli record, Amoroyim. Rabbi Avo, he has a dream that there's a person, right? What's his name? One second. His name is Pantkaka. Heinun test kuf kufei. I don't know about Kaka, whatever his name is. So Rabbi has a dream. This fellow, if he davens, rain will come. He says, go find the fellow. So go find the fellow. And Rabbi asks him, what do you do? Turns out he runs a brothel. Right? He runs a brothel. He does all the cleaning there. It seems there's a theater attached, right? We could hear that. Yeah, there's a theater attached. He cleans the theater, he does all the laundry, what do you call it, you know, the for the ladies working there, he dances and makes them happy, etc. Nope. Okay. I've always like, okay, that's special. He says, do you ever do something special? You know, Maisa? Yeah. He says, yeah. He says, one time I was cleaning up the theater and I was standing behind I was cleaning up the theater, and I all of a sudden I heard a woman standing behind one of the columns in the theater crying. And I turned around. I said, "What's the matter? Why are you crying?" She says, "My husband has been taken hostage for ransom, and I need money. I need money in order to be able to ransom him." And obviously, she was coming here to sell herself, right? Her services, God forbid. So that she had the money to ransom her husband. And he said no. And he went and sold all of his own household items, his bed, all his linens, etc. He sold it, gave her the money. He says, here, take the money, don't sin. So it's true, true. Right? A person can acquire his olam haba in an instant. I guess that's what Rabbinim was saying. Rabbinim was saying that you never know. Right? Even though we call this person could have more olam haba than some of us. Right? But I think there's also another possibility here is that right now, in terms of what Klal Yisrael needed, that act, right, that act, that person, right, and the fact that he had that act in his repertoire made him, and that's what they revealed in the Shemayim, made him the candidate to daven. Klal Yisrael needed him now. So even in the big picture of things, I don't know if you call it the big picture of things, and perhaps in another picture of things, no one's going to say that he's more chasher than Rabbi Avol. But in terms of the needs of Klal Yisrael, my chazis, right, the damach sumak tvei, who's to say who's more precious amongst all the souls of the Jewish people, who's needed right now, right, more, you or he? Interesting. So in any event, I think that's a possibility. And like I said, perhaps that's the reason why Dafka, the Rambam went out of his way to explain that the Din of Chayavim is also applicable to Shabbos, because you might have thought that that Shabbos is like a Avodah Zarah, because part of those mitzvahs that is the word determine the fabric of connection. For Mashalom, we see, right? We have to preserve Jewish lives to keep Shabbos in the future. Right? We're willing to pass up one Shabbos in order to give him the opportunity, the potential to keep further Shabbosos. Okay. So I think we've seen some interesting things here about L'chai Bahem. And the relationship between Parshas Achrimos and Kedoshim, right? The Chai Bahem, which appears in Achrimos, and a little bit of understanding based upon the mitzvahs we see in Kedoshim, right? After Lerecha Kamocha, like Rabbi Kiva says, that called Golma Torah. And I think it should give us a greater sensitivity to the fact, certainly with what doesn't take away from what Rabbinim said. This should teach a person humility. Whether it means intrinsically that person's got more olam haba than me, I have no way of knowing, like Rabbinim said, or whether, right, I don't know what that person's function is right now, in spite of all the glitches that might be in them, right? But that also gives a person humility, right? Because you're never going to make it to Kedusha, you're never going to make it attached to the Ribbono Shel Olam, unless you see yourself as part of the flowing plasma of the Jewish life as it travels through the eons, travels through time, until Bias Gold Tzedek. Everybody's got a place, and we have to value everybody's place. Shem Yazor. Okay. Good Shabbos.